How should sports teams and leagues handle athletes who get into off-field trouble? That's the question for two of this week's three stories you should know. My guests are sports writer and editor Patrick Ruby via Skype and ESPN's Don Van Natta Jr. Welcome back to both of you.
Hey, Bill.
All right, it's good to be here.
Don, you lead off for us, please.
Well, Commissioner Roger Goodell suspended Cowboys star running back Ezekiel Elliott for 6 games, primarily for Elliott's alleged series of domestic violence incidents against a former girlfriend 13 months ago in Columbus, Ohio. The fast and furious impact of the suspension, now under appeal, could go far beyond the Cowboys' Super Bowl chances this season. Now, no one is angrier about Elliott's 6-game suspension than Cowboys owner Jerry Jones. As some fans know, Jerry Jones is Roger Goodell's loudest supporter, and Jones is also the NFL's most powerful owner. At the owners' meeting in Phoenix last winter, Jones pointedly argued that all 32 owners should sign off on Goodell's next contract in 2019, not just a 3-member compensation committee. This could be seen as a not very subtle warning. So, in the last 2 years, Goodell's player discipline hammer has infuriated two of his most influential supporters, Patriots owner Robert Kraft, who was livid over Goodell's Deflategate punishment against star quarterback Tom Brady, and now Jerry Jones. The Elliott suspension has also damaged the already strained relations between the forever warring NFL and the NFL Players Association. This past week, the NFL accused the union of leaking information that shamed the alleged victim. The union leaders angrily denied it, calling the NFL's accusation a lie. After this season, league owners and the players' union had planned to begin negotiating an extension to the CBA that expires after the 2020 season. But the Zeke Elliott suspension and all its ugliness instantly makes getting an extension for a new collective bargaining agreement an even longer shot. The union head, Demoris Smith, recently said the chances of a lockout or strike are a virtual certainty.
In terms of a strike or a lockout, I don't think that the union is in a powerful or strong enough position to credibly have any sort of lengthy work stoppage. We've seen this before historically. They just don't have the sort of unity, the war chest, the ability to go without work and go without pay for a whole season or more. And I think the NFL owners know that. And I think a lot of what you see from Roger Goodell, when it comes to the players part of it, is essentially flexing that power. And by the way, power that was given to him in the 2011 CBA negotiations. We shouldn't leave that out.
The other thing that strikes me as interesting here is the feud between these two organizations. The NFL is angry because they say the Players Association has leaked material about Ezekiel Elliott and thereby polluted the entire discussion. And all I can say is that if somebody was to insist that I believe either a spokesperson for the league or a spokesperson for the Players Association, I'm going with the Players Association because the league has so often misrepresented what's going on and flat out lied that I can't really believe anything they say about this particular incident or probably anything else.
Well, I agree. If you're weighing the track records of the two organizations, certainly the union has scored more points on the credibility side. But what I find so fascinating about this is always these Roger Goodell disciplinary decisions come down to looking ahead. What is he doing politically? And in this particular case, Goodell not only is learning from the Ray Rice debacle of a few years ago, he did this far more methodically, this investigation. It took 13 months and it's far more thorough with the help of a panel. But he also helped himself because it was Jerry Jones's turn. There is a view among some owners that Jerry Jones has gotten too big, he's gotten too many benefits from Roger Goodell, and now it's his turn to get whacked.
Let's note one thing. This is what makes it so classically NFL, the quote-unquote whacking. Who's the person that really gets punished? Again, it's a player. I think Jerry Jones is going to be just fine. Elliott, regardless of the circumstance of his case, he's the one missing game checks.
No, you're right. But Jerry Jones wants to win a Super Bowl in the worst possible way. He's just turned 75. He hasn't won one now in more than 20 years. And among the owners, it is seen, and the owners care far more about themselves than they do the players. They've certainly proven that over the years. And among the owners, this is seen as Roger Goodell really taking it to Jerry Jones.
Patrick, let us move on to your topic, please.
So I want to discuss this document that came out this week from the University of Minnesota's independent review of how the school investigated a report of a sexual assault involving multiple football players last year. Now, the document was reported on by Deadspin, and it's essentially a set of football team rules. It includes a list of quote-unquote pitfalls around college athletes. Now, there's 15 of these, and in no particular order, they include traffic and parking tickets, no respect for authority, borrowing or stealing a roommate's credit card or phone, using a fake ID, plagiarism, and, by the way, last but not least, date rape slash gang rape. Now, this is a little weird for a number of reasons. These are almost all things that college athletes and really everyone else should not do. They seem pretty self-evident. I'm not sure why football coaches really need to remind players of this stuff.
Because they keep doing it.
Okay, well, secondly, it's very weird that you have a list of things that are mostly actual crimes or at the very least academic misconduct. And it also includes, quote unquote, no respect for authority. I mean, only in the mind of a football coach is that somehow in the same universe as theft and gang rape. Third, we should talk about the date rape and gang rape part. I do not know how you are just casually tossing that into the same bucket as parking tickets. That is actually beyond weird. It's really disturbing. But I do think it says something about how and why football coaches, athletic departments, as we just talked about the NFL, sports governing bodies are just so very, very bad at trying to act as moral arbiters or as an alternative justice system. They're not professionals at this. They're professionals at sports. Nobody would suggest having detectives create game plans, but somehow we constantly want our sports powers that be to address problems that are way outside their lanes. And I think we do this because it makes us feel better as fans. Then keep pretending that sports are escape.
The list is so ridiculous. Number one is parking tickets. Yeah, the date rape and gang rape is down at number eight. It's almost as if they put, you know, these 15 pitfalls in a hat and pulled them out. And also on this memo, there is the line, treat your body as if it were a Lamborghini. I mean, who wrote that? I mean, a Lamborghini?
A Lamborghini salesman.
Right.
Seems obvious.
It is the same list, you know, warning about date rape. The whole thing is so tin-eared and ridiculous and should be mocked, you know, from coast to coast.
Well, I agree. And I think the problem with the list starts with calling these various things pitfalls. And unhappily, it's very easy to mock what these people at the University of Minnesota have done. It's very easy to mock the fact that they, as you say, have tossed all of these things onto the same list. But unfortunately, I think it's probably representative. I think Patrick is absolutely right. We can make fun of this, and we're probably not going to make a dent in this mindset by doing so. Patrick, have I got that wrong?
No, I mean, it is something to make fun of, but I want to be clear. I'm also kind of not making fun of the football coaches who came up with this list because, like I said, it's so outside their lane. It's not really their department.
Yeah, but some of this is common sense.
It is.
Some of this is so simple, it's common sense.
Absolutely. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, the coaches should basically, I hate to say this, they should stick to sports and let professionals in these other fields deal with the other stuff.
All right, I want to lighten things up with my topic for this week. On Tuesday evening, I was at a ball game between the Red Sox and the Cardinals, and the Red Sox turned a triple play. And I don't think there's any series of acts that more clearly demonstrates how good three players have to be. The guy sitting next to me, season ticket holder, old friend, probably been to more than 1,000 games, he jumped up and shouted when he saw this. Home runs are great. Pitching duels are tense. I wonder, though, if there's any sequence of events in baseball more extraordinary and more fun to watch in that split-second way than a triple play. Patrick, tell me I'm wrong.
I mean, I like when people steal home. So I'm going to vote for that over triple play. But I think triple play is a close second.
Don, triple play fan?
I am so jealous that you were able to witness the triple play in person. And the only thing that I'd be even more jealous if you had seen is a natural cycle. Which you know, is the single, double, triple home run and has only occurred 14 times in Major League Baseball history. That's even rarer than what you saw. But no, you witnessed an amazing thing, and I'm extremely envious.
I accept your envy. It was great fun. My guests for this week's edition of Three Stories You Should Know have been sports writer and editor Patrick Ruby and ESPN's Don Van Natta Jr. Thank you, both of you. It's been fun for me.
Thanks, Bill. Likewise.
As always, thanks for having me.